Good morning and welcome to First Baptist Church. We're so glad you're with us today to worship. I have a few quick reminders for you as we look at next year and finishing out this year. Any tithes and contributions for 2020 need to be postmarked by December 31st or bring it by the church office by December 30th. Envelopes for next year are also available in the hallway to be picked up, or you can stop by the church office and grab those as well. This Sunday evening will be our men's ensemble practice. So if you've been a part of that, please come at 6 p.m. this Sunday night, and that is going to be a treat we're looking forward to for our candlelight service, which is set for December 20th at 6 p.m. Also, this next Wednesday, we're having a discuss the budget. So if you have any questions about the proposed 2021 budget, please come at 6:30, and there will also be a deacons meeting to follow to discuss some of the deacon nomination and that process as well. Also on December 20th, we are going to have a vote on the proposed budget at 5:30. So please come for that. Just the candlelight service, just a little bit early to vote on the budget. And then if you also have purchased any poinsettias that we have down here at front, you could pick those up after our candlelight service. For the youth, we're having a Christmas party on the 20th as well at 4 p.m., and you're asked to bring a wrapped gift of no more than $10. We don't need any fighting over any of these gifts because we like to do the white elephant gift exchange. So please have that gift ready, and we're going to have a lot of fun at that as well. At this time, I'm gonna read just a scripture for you and pray together. But this scripture comes from Luke chapter 2, and it is verses 10 and 11. And this is where the shepherds are out in the field. This is Mark is preaching on this week of the theme of joy. And so the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time together. We thank you that you are forever faithful and loving us as you are our Creator. And God, you don't leave us alone. You never forsake us. And God, you've done something about our past. You've dealt with it. Absolved us of our sin through your own Son, Jesus, on the cross. And God, you've given us reason to live in the present. You've given us a mission. You've sent us out to share the gospel. And God, you've also placed us with a future in mind that is so much better than the outlook and that we had before you. God, and so we are so thankful that you are a God of the past, the present, and the future. And God, we have so much joy in the fact of knowing that your salvation that you bring is for all people. And God, you accept us no matter what. And so we thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ. And we look forward to the celebration of his birth. And God, we also look forward to his coming again. All these things we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm so glad you could join us again this week. We are on week 3 of our Advent. Let's light our candle. This candle is joy. Okay, let's continue reading our Christmas story. Let's read Luke 2, 8 through 20. That night, some shepherds were in the field outside the village, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel appeared among them, and the landscape shone bright with the glory of the Lord. They were badly frightened, but the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you the most joyful news ever announced, and it is for everyone. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born tonight in Bethlehem. How will you recognize him? You will find a baby wrapped in a blanket, lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God Glory to God in the highest heaven, they sang, and peace on earth for all those pleasing him. When this great army of angels had returned again to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, come on, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this wonderful thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. They ran to the village and found their way to Mary and Joseph. And there was a baby lying in the manger. The shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story expressed astonishment, but Mary quietly treasured these things in her heart and often thought about them. Then the shepherds went back again to their fields and flocks, praising God for the visit of the angels because they had seen the child just as the angel had told them. So this week that we're learning that the angels brought joy to the shepherds. Can you imagine being tired all day from tending to your sheep and you're just kind of chilling out there in the field and all of a sudden this angel shows up and then a whole bunch of angels shows up? You know they're probably scared and really confused, but the angel told them, don't be afraid of me. Don't be afraid of what's going on. I've got great joy for you. I've got some good news. So she told them about the baby, and they immediately went. They left their sheep behind, went, and found baby Jesus. And they worshiped him. And then what did they do? They spread this joy to everyone they saw. They told everyone about baby Jesus. They were so excited. We can do that too. We can tell others about Jesus. We can show our excitement and our joy. And just there's so many people that don't know about Jesus. So if you have friends or a family that don't know about Jesus, it's a great thing to do. You need to tell them about Jesus. You need to share that joy. Let's pray together. Dear God, thank you for giving us a reason to be joyful. Thank you that we have this Advent season that we can celebrate the hope that you've given us in Jesus, and that we can celebrate the love that you've shown us through Jesus, and that now we can celebrate the joy that we can be joyful even when times are just crazy, crazy, crazy. We can still find joy in our heart. And so today as we light the shepherd's candle, God, we thank you for giving us the joy that we can have. It's in your name we pray. Amen. See you next week.
Good morning, church family. We're still excited to be worshiping together with you, even if we can't be all here in God's house together. We know that you're worshiping with us from home or on the road, wherever you may be this morning. We just pray that you are safe and that you're with us in spirit. And today we're going to start with singing Joy to the World, Unspeakable Joy. Joy. this morning for the Lord's joy that's rising up in my soul, and I pray that you feel that this morning too. God rest ye merry gentlemen.
God rest ye.
I invite you to sing with me from home if you would like. This is Silent Night, but it's not being sung maybe as you have grown up singing it. But it's beautiful, kind of a lullaby. And I just invite you to sing along if you would like, or simply just to sit in the Lord's presence with this song.
Son of God.
Good morning. I'm glad to be able to join with you today in worship. Today we are in the third week of Advent. The theme today is joy. Many of us may find it difficult to talk about joy during this year of 2020, this year of pandemic. So many things have gone on that we're just ready for us to get past this year and start a new one fresh. But we're not quite there yet. And as we remember this year, and as we remember these themes, it is important to remember our anchors in the faith. And so this year, as we have talked about the themes of hope, of love and faith, and today we talk about joy, we are anchoring ourselves as Christians, as believers, into God's cosmic, divine revelations to us, and the ultimate revelation to us, and that is His Son, Jesus Christ. And so if you would, please join with me in a word of prayer. Our good and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for today. We thank You that You give us this opportunity to join together as brothers and sisters in Christ, to worship You, to proclaim the goodness that You have bestowed on a simple people. We are so undeserving of Your love, but yet You so freely give it to us. Lord, remind us as we talk about Your first coming into this world and as we prepare for Christmas Day, that You have everything under control, that You have intervened in the past, You have promised us a better future, and You have always lived up to every promise You have given us. You have been slow to discipline us, but quick to forgive. Lord, remind us during this theme why we can proclaim joy during these difficult days. Amen. And so, as LaDusta read our story text for today, and it is the story of the shepherds, we are taken back to that ancient day and to marvel at what this season means. So as we talk about Advent as Christ coming, we've talked about the theme of hope and how these promises fulfilled in the past give us hope for a future, because Jesus didn't just come once and then leave us alone. Jesus came, He gave His life as a ransom for each and every one of us so that we may live. We may not be condemned. And through His life, He also gave us the promise that He will come. But in the meantime, we are in that already not yet stage of life. Christ has already come that first Christmas morning, but He has not yet returned to get rid of these pandemics, to rid the world of sin, and to create something new and perfect that's not tainted by human arrogance and sin and pride and all those kind of things. And so as we talk about joy, I have the question, what exactly is joy? You know, you can always go to the dictionary and look up joy, and that's what I did. The definition of joy, according to Merriam-Webster, is an emotion evoked by well-being, success, or good fortune, or by the prospect of possessing what one desires. Delight. It's a good definition. Another definition for joy is the expression or exhibition of such emotion, gaiety. Or possibly it is a state of happiness, or it is a source or cause of delight. Further, joy is to experience great pleasure or delight. How do you define joy? Do you think of a state of happiness or a response to something in your life? If that's the case, it's going to be difficult to find joy in this season, because there's not a whole lot to be happy. Well, I guess if you owned stock in Purell or toilet paper, you might find reason to be happy. But as this pandemic has gone on and gone on and gone on, I was looking through Facebook the other day, and somebody had a meme, and it was a husband getting ready for work, and he said, "Well, happy March 327th, or whatever it was." It was this continued shutdown and this continued stress, whether you've been affected directly by this virus, maybe you have contracted it and recovered, maybe you've had a loved one contract it and not. The ongoing stress of this season of life, whether not much has changed for you or things have drastically changed. Just think about the kids in school. You know, last year we talked about all the stuff those seniors missed last year, but what about the seniors this year? They haven't had that year that we've all got to experience if we're a little bit older than high school. But this has been difficult, and finding joy in this can be difficult. And I think that's why it's so important to remember why we can have joy. And remember the situation that the world has found itself in, but yet through the promises of God, there is still joy and reason to rejoice. And so let's reread that story again, but let me put in the context of where we're at. And we'll go ahead and read this whole section in chapter 2, but we'll look at the story of the shepherds today. In chapter 2, it begins with the birth of Jesus, and it says this. It says, "And it came to pass in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was the governor in Syria, so that all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were complete for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid." I would be too. It says, "And the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, is Christ the Lord, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in the manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men.' And so it was, when the angel had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the sayings which was told to them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told by the shepherds. But Mary kept all of these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for the things that they had heard and seen and was told to them. And when the eighth day came, when the eighth days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angels before he was conceived in the womb." And so that is the story of Christmas. And that has this beautiful story of Israel and all the outcasts like us in this world. It is militaristic in a way. It is a proclamation in another. It is the story of how God saved the world. How God saved the world through His Son. Did you see how everything was involved? All the timing was perfect. Everything came to be just so that Jesus Christ would be born to fulfill those prophecies made about him so long ago. That the government took a census. And Joseph did what he had to do. And his wife didn't want to be left alone with this child. And so they went to Bethlehem because Joseph was from the descendant of David. From the line of David, Jesus would be raised. We know that he was born of God, but also of Mary. He was raised by Joseph. And so it was in those days. She gave birth. And then we have the story of the shepherds. I mean, can you picture that? We always look fondly on the shepherds at Christmas time, but the shepherds were not a prize catch for his employment. They would have been the essential workers of Jesus' day. They would have kept the industries going, but they weren't really lifted up and prized and honored and these kind of things. They were kind of these outcasts. And I was talking to some pastor friends the other day, and one of them had contracted COVID, and he said that, you know, it's kind of odd when you go to tell people that you actually had tested positive, because people kind of look at you, you know, that keep you at a distance, even though that you're better. You know, you think about the flu. If you catch the flu and you get over it and you go tell people you had the flu, there's no big deal. But if someone catches COVID because of the mystery and all that surrounding it, you kind of look at them with suspicious that they're kind of unclean. You know, it'd been like the leopards. But this was like what it would have been like for these shepherds. They were these unclean men who kept watch over these herds of sheep. They had to tend to them. But, you know, it's not like any job that we would have had today. Well, there's a few ranchers who still do this in our territory of the West Texas. But when you talk about farming today, the farmer gets to go home at night. He gets to go, you know, put the cows away, this kind of stuff, shower if his wife makes them, all that stuff. But he gets to go home at night. But for these shepherds, if they were moving them from pasture to pasture, you didn't necessarily bring them back every day. Sometimes you would be gone for months at a time as you guided these dumb animals to green pastures and to still water so that they may drink and be nourished and find resting places. But you were ever vigilant as shepherds because not only were you constantly on the lookout for greener pastures for them to graze and safe and water for them to drink, clean water for them to drink, but also you had to look out for wild beasts that would go to kill them, because sheep have no defensive mechanisms on their own. They can't fight back. They depend on others to care for them. Jesus, when he fed the 5,000, he looked out on the crowd before all this took place as if they were sheep without a shepherd. We are those sheep today. And I think many of us have forgot that we have a good shepherd who is guiding and watching over us and has taken us to those green pastures. But he also has to lead us through the valleys of life. For many of us, we have been traveling through a dark valley, and we forget to look up and see the shepherd and see what he is doing for us. And so it is fitting that these shepherds are the ones who would make the announcement to the world. They witnessed this scene. The heavens crack open and the divine visitation takes place in a lowly place on the hillsides, away from the city, away from the bustle, to people who had probably been looking up at the sky, longing to know what God was about. Because as you have completed your day's work as a shepherd, and as you're taking your turn at watch, you sit around campfires talking, and maybe philosophical, maybe religious, but you just talk and are absorbed by the sky. For those who watch the sky, can you imagine what it would have been like to gaze upon our heavens during Jesus' day? Without all the light pollution that we have in our world, it's very hard these days to find a lonely hillside to get away to be able to observe the heavens as they should be observed because of all of the light that comes from our artificial world, from highway markers to road lamps to houses to businesses, that we are 24/7. There's no day and night. It is only on. May be darker. It may not be quite as dark at times. You know, I kind of think of that as the seasons of where I came from in Mississippi. We had kind of hot and hotter seasons. We didn't have three seasons or four seasons. We would every now and then get some cold fronts, but it was just kind of one long summer where some days it'd be cooler than others. But those shepherds who longed to look at the heavens and to watch over sheep were the ones that the angels visited. Were they looking up at the sky when it opened up and the angels stood before them? It said they found great fear. It's kind of like the deer in the headlight, you know. When it is dark and that beam of light just shines around you, you're disoriented. You don't know what's going on. You don't know whether to stand or flee, because if you flee, you won't be able to see. Your eyes aren't adjusted to the dark with that bright light in it. But these shepherds, these witnesses to what was going on, these nobodies, these outcasts, these essential workers were the ones who the angel saw and made the proclamation that something great has taken place in this world. And they said, "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." A Savior who is Christ the world. The world will never be the same. How we keep our calendar will change based on this event of this boy who was born just like every other boy. Last week we talked about the divine conception, but his birth was the same as any one of us. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. The angels would go to the shepherds, the lowly outcasts of society, because they had been the guiders of sheep and they would understand the importance here. Maybe they have been talking about what God was going to do, because when Jesus was born, they were experienced what we know as this kind of 400 years of silence from when the pages of the Old Testament were completed and the pages of the New Testament were begun. This was a persecuted minority group that was longing for this promised Messiah, this Savior, Jesus Christ, this Lord, who would come and deliver them. Now, many and even the disciples missed what Jesus' Messiahship would be. They were wanting a military victor that would get rid of the Romans, but they got something so much more. They got the one who could save their souls, the one who could deliver them from this world and live, bring them with him into paradise. And there is that reason for joy. So if you have joy in this season, and it's not based on the circumstances in your immediate presence, it's because it is rooted in the joy of knowing what God has done, what God is doing, and what God will do in the future. For when this event took place, it says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men," the angels say. And so the shepherds stood there in the field after the spokesman showed up and the whole sky opened up. And the multitude of the heavenly host shone around them. And then they went back into heaven from where they came. How long did they stand there staring at the sky? Were they told to go? It doesn't say so. It says, let's look at 15. It says, "So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.'" Let us go and see. Let us go and see. And they saw just as it was told to them. They went and they found Mary, and they went and they found Joseph. They went and they found Jesus lying there in that manger, in that makeshift delivery room. There he was, just as the angels had said. And they told everyone about it. They told everyone that they saw. Now many in the community would have been interested in all the commotion. Some of them would have looked at him with skepticism. Some of them would have believed that God has done these things. But you got to remember, these are those strange ones in the town. These are those kind of oddballs, shepherds, these outcasts, the ones you keep at arm's reach. But Mary, after experiencing such a miraculous thing, she pondered them. And she reflected on them. And in this season of life, if there is no other thing that I can offer you, a word of encouragement, a word that would bring joy to your heart, I will leave you with the example of Mary and the example of the shepherds. If you don't know Jesus, I invite you to go and see. I invite you to join with us as we venture through this word of Scripture, this Holy Bible together, week after week, finding new glimpses of what God has done in the past so that we may see clearly what God is doing in our presence and that we may have the faith to let God take us into the future. But also, like Mary, ponder these events. What would God do for such a sorry creature as us these glorious things? Because he freely gave his Son to this world, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And so if you want to know why you can have joy during these days, pray with me now. And I invite you into a better future. Our good and gracious Heavenly Father, I would like to ask that you allow others to pray with us. Pray with us that they may find joy in this difficult season because they have been touched by your love. That you are in control during these chaotic times, whether we may not know how you are working our present into a better future. We know that you love us, not because of what we've done for you, but because you created us all for a purpose. And the darkness of this world has clouded that purpose from our own minds and in our own thoughts. And if we surrender our lives to you, you will reveal those purposes to us. So that no matter what the day may bring, that we can speak of this great joy and glorify God no matter what each day brings. Because we know that you hold us in your hands and that you carry us forth to a greater future, whether in this world or the next. Because as finite creatures, Lord, our time on earth is just a speck of sand on the seashore of eternity. But in your hands, we can do so much more. So Lord, I pray that we would repent of our sins, turn to you so that you may heal our lands. It is in your name we pray together. Amen. And as we have met for virtual church, if you need to speak more about what God is doing in your life, and you'd like to talk to me directly, you can call the church office at 806-983-3755. You can reach me on my cell phone at 983-1755. If you're in need of prayer, you can go to our website. There's a link for prayer request that you can leave anonymously if you're not comfortable sharing your name. Or you can send me an email at mark@fbcfloydata.org.
Thank you.
have a Merry Christmas, and I look forward to seeing you in person next week.